Happy Easter, or He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. Amen. Christ is definitely the fulfillment of not only the promises that were made, but also what we would know as the Feast of First Fruits. So it's not something we just celebrate, it's something God has established long before the resurrection that we're celebrating today ever happened. In Leviticus chapter 23, God lays out His calendar. Not man's calendar, His calendar. And on these feast days that He has laid out, they're not random. They're God's pattern. The God's pattern as to what He will have planned for all of us. God is really saying, this is how I work. On Wednesday, we celebrated Passover, where God sent His Passover lamb to the cross to die for us. And then today, we celebrate the Feast of First Fruits. This is where the first of the new life is presented before the Lord. And then comes the Gospels, where Jesus is the fulfillment of that Passover lamb. And then He rises 3 days later on what would be known as the Feast of First Fruits. And then He becomes our first fruits. It's an amazing thing. Understand that the resurrection isn't just power. It is, but it is also a feast and a plan and a fulfillment of God's plans. So let's take a look this morning and look at Leviticus chapter 23 as we see this all laid out before us. And why are we doing this today? Because you're going to see how amazing God really is and what it means to celebrate, not just Easter, but what He's actually doing. He's fulfilling His pattern. So it's not just victory, it is a promise kept. And when we understand this, when we see this, the celebration has much more power. It becomes deeper, stronger, and anchored in what God revealed. So starting in verse 9 of Leviticus chapter 23, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, When you come into the land in which I give you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priests. And he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be an acceptance before on your behalf. And on the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. And you shall offer it on that day when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year without blemish as a burnt offering to the Lord." So, this is where everything starts. This is where everything is laid out. You see, in the late fall, what they would do is they would plant the barley seed. Then, the barley seed over winter would start to grow. And in the spring, it would develop this grain head. As the grain head started to fill out around April, March, it would be ready. This is when you start to see the development of the fruit. It would tell you that your harvest would be. If you didn't see any heads growing, you'd be like, well, the seeds didn't take root, they didn't develop, and I have no harvest. So this would tell them that they were going to have a successful harvest. But at this point, here's what it would look like. They would be standing on the edge of the field, but they can't touch it yet according to the Levitical law. But they would go out and they would gather a bunch and cut it. This is what's called a sheaf or an omer, a little collection of the barley. And then they would take that and they would wave that before the Lord. You see, everything would stop here because God is teaching them a pattern. You might ask, why are they doing this? This is kind of crazy. This is silly. No, God is showing them something. He's showing them that the reshit, which means the first, is not first in time. It's first in authority. It's first in representation. And then that sheath, as I said, was lifted up. And here's what's happening. They take that sheath, which is an example of or a portion of the entire harvest, and they would hold it up to the Lord and wave it to be presented for His acceptance. Now here's the cool part. If God would accept that little portion, then He would accept and guarantee the entire harvest of the whole field. This moment wasn't about loss. It wasn't about an offering of, hey, I'm losing a little bit of my field. But it was actually there to build confidence to say, yeah, the full harvest will be accepted. Didn't cause fear. No, it brought celebration. They don't have the full harvest yet, but they knew it was coming. Remember, this is the very first part when the head would begin to develop and filled out. It wouldn't be ready to reap, if you will, until 50 days later. That's when the grain would be fully ripe, fully ready for the harvest. So look at the pattern. In the fall, they had the death where the seed was planted. Well, you thought it was death. It was supposed death, but really, there's life. But in the demonstration of sowing the seed into the ground, it would represent death. Then when they saw the first sign of fruit, they would take that for an acceptance to the Lord. And He says, yes, I accept it. And then the entire field, the entire harvest would then be guaranteed. And so as we go into the Gospels, we're not seeing something new. We're seeing something fulfilled. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 6 through 1, it says this. Now, after the Sabbath, and this is why we celebrate this on Sunday, by the way, because it had to come after the next Sabbath. After the Sabbath, the first day of the week, there's a time stamp there. At the dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone, which created a door, and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, His clothes was as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of Him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, He is risen." And He said, "Come see the place where the Lord laid." So here we take everything that we had just talked about with the festival, and now we begin to see it lived out in the life of Jesus. The sheath, if you remember, was brought before God. Who is the sheath in this case? It is the Christ. It is the Christ. And when He comes out of the grave at that exact point, on the very feast day, He is raised to God. He is raised to God. And at this moment, the pattern becomes a reality as Christ is being presented as the first fruit. And just like that sheath, if He is accepted, then the rest of the harvest is guaranteed. Guess who the harvest is? The church. The believers. And this is why the timing matters. Because God is not just raising Jesus. He's saying, "I accept you. And I accept the harvest of the church." In fact, it is guaranteed. And now it gets personal as we turn to John chapter 20. It's going to sound very familiar to what we just read. Now, on the first day of the week, same day, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord from out of the tomb, and they don't know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple, and they were going to the tomb, and they both ran together. And the other disciple, that would be John, outran Peter and came to the tomb first. He stooped down and he looked in, sawing the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went right into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together and in its place by itself. And then the other disciple who came to the tomb first also went in and saw and did what? Believed. For yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body would have lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Here it is. She, supposing him to be the gardener, and said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling for me, for I have yet not ascended to my Father. But go to my brother and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he spoke these things to her. Remember the first fruits? At the very beginning of the first sign of light, a new beginning, Mary comes expecting death. But what does she find? She finds life. And when Jesus speaks her name, everything changes. This isn't just resurrection, folks. This is restoration. And isn't it interesting that she mistook him as the gardener? Circle back to Genesis, where God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, where man and God were together. Interesting that she mistakes him as the gardener. And you know what he says? Not literally, but the intent is this. Yes, Mary, the gardener is back and you are walking with him. You see, guys, this is restoration. You see, Jesus would restore what the Garden of Eden lost. And it would be fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And this is why Easter isn't something that we just understand. Easter is something you encounter. It's our personal encounter with Jesus. And that means this, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, or 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And look at this. Here it is, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also comes the resurrection. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ all shall be made alive again. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Do you see how it all ties together? how him being waived would guarantee the full harvest. And this is everything we've been building to so far this morning. Christ is the first fruit. That means whatever happens to him will happen to us. And if he is accepted, the harvest is not only accepted, but guaranteed. Not because he just rose again, but because his resurrection now guarantees our resurrection. That means that we are reunited back to him. And Romans 6 tells us that. Romans 6, verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. That means the resurrection isn't just future. It's present. It's now. You don't have to wait to live in the future. You can live differently now because the tomb is what? Empty. So let's put it all together as we come to a close today. The pattern we see is the seed. What happened? Went into the ground and appears to die. Then comes up new life. Grows and starts to produce fruit. The fruit is proof that the harvest will come. That grain, which is green at this point, will start to turn to a golden color as it begins to ripen. As the heads become full, not fully dry yet, it's a sign that the first usable portion is available for the harvest. This is what they collected on that day. This is what they waved before the Lord. And if it was accepted, then guess what? The whole harvest would be accepted. The Bible tells us that 50 days later, which is the time from the first development of that barley seed head, 50 days later, it would be ready to be harvested. It would be fully ripe. 50 days later to finish the harvest. Guess what? 50 days later from this moment, we have an event we call Pentecost. Pentecost, and on that day, 3,000 were saved. The harvest started. You know what's interesting about the book of Acts? It doesn't close out. Because the harvest is still continuing today. It's still there. Are you guaranteed? Yeah. Because he was accepted. This is the real meaning behind what we now call Easter. It's really the first of Feast of First Fruits. Because he was accepted, we will be accepted as well. And so let us understand that we celebrate Easter because of this. And it also tells us that we can live differently because of the resurrection. Right now, we have that personal encounter. And that we can walk confidently that our future is secure. Easter isn't something that just happened. It's something that is our guarantee. And tells us the harvest is real. How do you be part of that harvest? You understand what Jesus did for us. We understand that if he is accepted, we too would be accepted. And how does that happen? Well, the Bible tells us that if you believe that he died for your sins, was placed in the grave, and on the third day he rose again, if you believe that, then you are saved. You are part of the harvest. That's it. And then the life then reflects it. And that's what we believe is the confession of the mouth. Not a raising of a hand, a signing of a card, a coming forward. That doesn't save you, folks. What saves you is you say, I believe that he did it. I believe that he was accepted. And I surrender my life to him. and I receive him as my first fruit. That's it. And then God says, welcome to the harvest. I guarantee it. And so as we close today, we celebrate the resurrection, but remember the complete pattern. The death, burial, and resurrection. And then what did Jesus say? What did he tell Mary? I must ascend. So the story will continue because the ascension is vital, because it is actually God's acceptance of Jesus. And if he goes, we go in like manner. Isn't that a wonderful picture? It's a great picture. And it's all part of God's plan. Today, just like we celebrate God's divine appointments with the feasts and the festival, today is a divine appointment for each and every one of us today too. You have been presented today an empty tomb. Today is the day that you can choose to have that personal encounter with Jesus. You can have that personal encounter just like Mary. Today, he isn't collectively calling to the church. Today, he's calling your name. Because the reality is he died for you. And he rose for you. Amen? Lord, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your patterns. And Lord, today we arrive at the empty tomb. And if you hear the voice of the Lord calling your name right now, the question is, will you answer? And will you receive? And it's not a matter of coming forward, raising a hand like we talked about, but it is a matter of believing. And maybe you don't fully believe. That's okay. Maybe there's still some questions you have to work out. Mary didn't quite understand everything either. Even the disciples who spent, 3 years with Jesus knew, had heard that he had to die and raise again. Destroy this temple and in 3 days I will rise it up. And even here in the story we read today, when they arrived at the empty tomb, they still didn't understand. The point is you don't have to fully understand either. And so our cry, if that is you, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. All I know is this. I'm tired of trying. I'm tired of striving to make things happen in my own power. Lord, I surrender. I give it all to you. I believe that you took my place upon that cross. I believe that you were placed in the tomb. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that on the third day, you rose again and was accepted before God. And I too, because I believe in you as my Lord and Savior, I too will be guaranteed. And then 50 days later, the full ripening. So you see, even in that picture, if you don't fully understand today, that's okay. Because the full ripening will come. But it's guaranteed. So Lord, thank you for your work. Thank you for being our first fruits. In Jesus' name, amen.